Hello and welcome to the Veterinary Secrets Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Jones, and this is episode 5. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about the benefits of probiotics and why you need to add these to your pet's diet. I'm going to comment on the big brouhaha going on around the current measles outbreak, while thousands of people are dying every year due to antibiotic misuse and this bacteria called C. difficile. And then I'm going to answer a listener's question. Dr. Jones, my dog has chronic anal gland problems. Can I do anything else except for surgery? A little bit about the podcast. First, thanks for listening. Veterinary Secrets is now on iTunes. Just go to iTunes.com and search up Veterinary Secrets. We're also on Stitcher. You can download the Stitcher app and search for Veterinary Secrets, or go to stitcher.com/podcast/veterinary-secrets. I really appreciate it if you would subscribe to my podcast and especially leave a review. You can do so on iTunes or Stitcher. Any questions or comments, feel free to post a comment on my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or you can send me an email, and that's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. And I appreciate every form of contact from you guys, be it via the blog, be it posting on the blog, be it sending me an email, and I'm wanting to respond to as many of you as possible and specifically address your listeners' questions. So let's get right into today's podcast. We're covering a whole lot of stuff today. So we're going to start out with the first topic. Probably heard about probiotics, whether they're from food commercials or from your doctor. They're usually linked to digestive health. Just like with people, probiotics can also be beneficial to both our dogs and our cats. You might not think of nutritionally managing sort of health problems with strains of bacteria, but it's actually quite natural once you understand the science behind it. I'm going to help you gain a better understanding of it and how this might be right for your dog or your cat. So how do probiotics work? Probiotics are these friendly strains of bacteria that help maintain a healthy balance of sort of these good bugs, the good bacteria in your pet's intestinal tract, while keeping the less friendly, the more serious disease-causing bacteria in check. Your pet's immune system is largely based within their intestinal tract with our dogs and our cats. And a healthy ratio of this good to bad bacteria helps keep your dog or cat's immune system functioning normally. When these bad bacteria overtake the friendly bacteria, first we can see gastrointestinal symptoms such as vomiting or diarrhea, and a whole host of other things. And what I'm going to do is then address a number of different studies that are pointing towards a number of different diseases that one your dog or cat can potentially avoid with probiotics, we can also potentially treat. So as an example, when your dog or your cat's gastrointestinal bacteria are in balance with the right amount and type of healthy bacteria, there's several specific vital functions that can take place inside their body. First of all, fiber, so that breakdown product of so many parts of what your dog or cat is eating, processed normally as it should be. Vitamins and minerals are being made. These unfriendly bacteria, these pathogenic bacteria, are being kept in place. There's certain specific toxins or metabolic byproducts. They're being managed appropriately. Food and different things can be digested appropriately. Holistic veterinarians, and I think many pet owners, and clearly many of you listening on the podcast today, are probably aware of probiotics. And there's a good chance you've used them on yourself. You may or may not have used them on your pet, but I really think you should be consider using them. As an example, or sort of expanding use of probiotics, so I was recently just in a pharmacy looking up for something. I'm going to be going on a trip shortly for the use of traveler's diarrhea. And what is right up there now? In the past, it was, you know, take this antibiotic with you. Probiotics are as effective for preventing and treating traveler's diarrhea as the sort of typical antibiotics we used to use in the past, which is like huge news. So as an example, as far as for your pets, if your animal is ever going to a boarding clinic or they're traveling or they're likely to have an upset stomach, then you want to consider probiotics. You're replenishing the healthy bacteria after taking any time after you've taken antibiotics, your pet has been on antibiotics, you want to have them on probiotics. Obviously, alleviating, helping with symptoms of vomiting, diarrhea, then definitely you want to be using probiotics. They're also helping improve digestion. And then bigger things, we're seeing them help with enhancing immune function. Because we know the majority of your immune system and how it's really based on and how effective it is based on what's going on in the intestinal tract. And when you think about what's these bacteria, there's billions of these bacteria. It's called this whole microbiota, and they play this huge, huge role. And we're just starting to understand how many different interactions and how they're interacting with the rest of the body. But we do know, for instance, that we have certain diseases going on, you know, such as stress, that we're also correlating that. We can see that link with intestinal health. And so what research have done is researchers have gone backwards and said, well, perhaps there's a correlation there. What type of bacteria are present in our intestinal tract and how then that's correlating with a variety of these different disease symptoms. Before we get much further into the podcast, I just wanted to play the sound of something. Yes, those are cows in the background. I think what I'm going to do is just leave that to run sort of quietly in the background while we finish the podcast. It's kind of a pleasant sound. I grew up on a farm and I love hearing mooing cows. So back into our probiotics and the studies on probiotics. As I said, there's a number of different studies that are now showing a variety of different benefits for us using probiotic. One I wanted to start out with, the UCLA study, which showed that changing gut bacteria affects brain function. UCLA researchers now have the first evidence that bacteria ingested in food can affect brain function in people. In an early proof of concept study of healthy women, they found that women who regularly consume beneficial bacteriomas probiotics through yogurt showed altered brain function, both while in a resting state and in response to an emotion recognition task. Research has known that the brain sends signals to the gut, which is why stress and other emotions can contribute to gastrointestinal symptoms. This study shows what they'd suspected, but until now had been proved only in animal studies, that signals travel the opposite way as well. Time and time again, we hear from patients that they never felt depressed or anxious until they started experiencing problems with their gut. Our study shows that the gut-brain connection is a two-way street. There are studies showing that what we eat can alter the composition and products of the gut flora, in particular that people with high vegetable, fiber-based diets have a different composition of their microbiota or gut environment than people who eat the more typical Western diet, high in fat and carbohydrate. Now we know that this has an effect not only on metabolism, but also on brain function. The negative effects of antibiotics. By demonstrating the brain effects of probiotics, the study also raises the question of whether repeated courses of antibiotics can affect the brain. As some have speculated, antibiotics are used extensively, for instance, in neonatal intensive care units and childhood respiratory infections, and such suppression of the normal microbiota may have long-term consequences on brain development. They also go then to talk about other issues such as chronic pain, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. There likely is a connection there between the gut microbiota, the bacteria in that gut, and these more serious chronic brain disorders. The next study I wanted to talk about was on allergies, and much more relevant, I think, to many of you who have itching dogs or cats. I mean, should you be giving your dog a probiotic? And I have written a number of different articles on this. This is a review study, and it was dealing with people once again, and with atopy. Typically, it starts after a year of age. It can show up as early as 6 months. And this is this environmental allergy where we're allergic to a number of different things within the environment. And they're showing up a variety of clinical signs, you know, with these recurring ear infections, chronic pot licking, hair loss, chronic scratching, redness in the groin, redness in all, the whole variety of different signs and symptoms of atopy. But the point of this, or what I'm talking about, was this specific study, which showed that the good bacteria, the probiotics, may help prevent many of the clinical signs of atopy, the itching, the scratching, the red inflamed skin. Obviously, it's a very safe and underappreciated holistic treatment. It's the most common reason clients visit veterinarians treating allergies in dogs. The conclusion of this study showed that there's two specific probiotics, Lactobacillus rhamnus, seem to be effective for the prevention of atopic dermatitis. They're also found to reduce the severity of atopic dermatitis. And if I were to have a dog prone to allergies, I would have him on probiotics immediately. I mean, that would be part of his diet. I'd be adding in additional probiotics. And if I were secondary then to have a dog develop atopy or any type of allergy, no question, would I get him on ongoing probiotic trial? Yes, I would. And I likely would keep him on those because we're looking at something that I know my dog is not going to react to. Secondary could at the very least reduce the severity of the atopic dermatitis. This is a North Carolina shelter dog study, and this is around probiotics and diarrhea. And these researchers at North Carolina State University, they conducted a study to compare the use of probiotics versus metronidazole, that's a common antibiotic, used to treat acute diarrhea caused by stress colitis. It's one that I have prescribed to many, many dogs until, you know, I even got myself educated on the benefits of probiotic. The dogs in the study were from a Raleigh, North Carolina animal shelter and were suffering from severe diarrhea. The researchers examined the dogs, recorded the weights, body scores. The dogs were randomly selected to receive either a probiotic or the antibiotic metronidazole to treat the diarrhea. All dogs are fed either an adult maintenance or growth life stage food. There are 50 dogs in total. 25 received the probiotic. The other 25 received the antibiotic. At the end of the study, 11 of the dogs were treated with metronidazole that were unresponsive. They were then given the probiotics. They were saying there are 11 of the dogs were given the metronidazole, the antibiotic, and they didn't respond. They were then given the probiotic. So the study results, the fecal scores of all three groups of dogs, including those that didn't initially respond to the metronidazole, improved approximately double, twofold. old. Even the parasite-infected dogs showed the same level of improvement at the end of the treatment. Based on the fecal data score, research concluded that probiotic is an equally effective treatment to the traditional antibiotic regime for the treatment of acute diarrhea in shelter dogs. The researchers further acknowledged that antibiotics-treated dogs with limited improvement appeared to benefit significantly from the subsequent probiotic treatment, which is huge, and that would change my method of practice. If I were to treat now, I would get them on probiotics first, have clients have them on probiotics first, far before jumping into something like metronidazole. So many different reasons. One last study I wanted to cover, and this comes from the Harvard Health publication. This is Harvard Medical School, which you know is a pretty conservative medical school. And this is what they have to say about probiotic. There are hundreds of different species of bacteria in your digestive tract do a wonderful job of helping digest your food. Now researchers, including some at Harvard's Medical School, are finding evidence of a relationship between such good bacteria and the immune system. For instance, it's now known that certain bacteria in the gut influence the development of aspects of the immune system, such as correcting deficiencies and increasing the number of certain T cells. Precisely how the bacteria interact with the immune system isn't known. Obviously, there's a huge link between our immune system, our immune function, our immune health, and the bacteria within our intestinal tract. No question be benefited by the use of additional probiotics. So for all those different reasons, I'm encouraging you to use probiotics in your dogs or cats too. Go ahead, research it yourself, discuss it with your veterinarian. If your dog or cat has symptomatic diarrhea, use probiotic. If you've got a dog or cat with sort of immune challenges, use probiotic. If you've got a dog allergies, consider the use of probiotics. Some type of these stress disorders, and we're wanting to improve brain health, signs of cognitive dysfunction, then consider using probiotics. My dogs are on probiotics. My cat is on probiotics. Very few clinical signs of any type of disease. Is it all the probiotics? Obviously not. There's a certain correlation between diet and other things they're eating, linked in with exercise, etc., etc. But do I think the probiotics are key? Yeah, I do. You have all the variety of things I encourage you to supplement with. Probiotics are sort of way up there as sort of highest on that list for myself too and for my family. So yes, does it need to be my supplements, my dog supplement, my cat supplement? No, it doesn't. But do they contain adequate level of effective probiotics? Yes, they do. A couple other things you need to consider when you're giving your dog or your cat's probiotics, and obviously for yourself. One, be looking at that these are live bacteria, that they've not been on the shelf for years and years and years. So you need to know that they're actually the effective number are there. So these are live and active, so they can potentially be beneficial for your pets. Two, you need to look at the adequate numbers. And now we're looking at close to about 100 million. They're measured as colony forming units, so about 100 million CFUs for 10 pounds of body weight daily as a fairly standard amount. Now that's a pretty rough guide, but based on that guide gives you an idea for the number of bacteria. And then when you're looking at the range of bacteria, not just depending on one probiotic. So for instance, in my dog supplement, I'm dealing with three different probiotics. In my cat supplement, I'm looking up to 10 different probiotics. So you're looking with a range of probiotics that are potentially beneficial. So now I want to get into the second part of today's podcast. In it was, I'm talking about the measles outbreak. What I see inaccurate news being portrayed about it, a number of different commentators, medical specialists talking about why you need to have your child vaccinated, how you made such a poor decision, how the vaccines are so safe. There's no reason why you should not be vaccinating. We have an outbreak going on in the United States. So many children are at risk. Your child could die. So far, there have been 644 confirmed cases of measles in the U.S. in 2014. That's the most since 1994. 600 cases out of a population of 300 million. Oh, and in 2015, it's already getting off to a very strong start. There's at least 154 cases in 17 states. Wow. So now I want to contrast it versus this. The LDC puts C. difficile burden at 453,000 cases, 29,000 deaths. So this is a bacteria, Clostridium difficile. And that's the Centers for Disease Control reporting all this. You know, 453,000 cases of C. difficile, 29,300 associated deaths. The agency, which released the findings in the New England Journal of Medicine, so they point up the need for better antibiotic stewardship and rigorous infection control in healthcare facilities. C. difficile infections occur when someone is exposed to the pathogen while receiving antibiotic treatment for some other illness. So the antibiotics are suppressing the normal bacteria in the colon, allowing C. difficile to flourish, producing toxins that cause the severe diarrhea. Damage to the colon can cause bacteria to leak into the blood system. So let's get this right. We've got nearly 30,000 deaths, 453,000 cases of our bacterial disease, primarily caused by antibiotic use. Contrasting this to 644 cases of measles, that's it, and no deaths. What should be highlighted? What is more important? Yes, and you've got the number of C. difficile cases at nearly 1,000 times more. You've got 1,000 times more cases, thousands of people dying from this preventable disease. The mainstream media were really interested in, you know, accurate reporting. Maybe this would actually get some news coverage, and conventional medicine is causing it. But instead, it's the opposite. We've got this huge, I mean, I've watched it on CNN, I've watched it on virtually every major sort of reporting news site, physicians on the radio, on TV, within the internet, reporting on how safe the vaccines are, how could you as a responsible parent not vaccinate your kid. And there's no discussion around conventionally what we're doing wrong. As a huge example, so I just see that, this whole crazy discrepancy. And I think, one, I'm trying to put some sense into the whole conversation. Two, if you've chosen not to vaccinate your pets or your child, good for you. Clearly, you put a whole lot of thought into it. And three, some just whole sense into balance. There's a whole lot of things that go on to disease and disease prevention. People have asked me, what have I done? I've given my children sort of two basic vaccines. That's it. They've no longer been vaccinated. My animals, the ones I have now, currently haven't had no vaccine for the last 10 years. If I were to get a puppy or a kitten again, they would get two vaccines for puppies, two vaccines for kittens. So the basic minimal vaccines, and that was it. That would be it. I really think that media is doing a huge disservice to the whole population in general to perpetuate this myth. The antibiotics are generally safe, will do no harm. You've got to get your dog or your cat or your kid vaccinated to prevent disease in the first place. Good on you for challenging the conventional wisdom. And thanks for listening to the podcast. And so the last part of today's podcast was answering a listener's question. And in particular, it was they've got a dog that's got this chronic anal gland infection. If you don't know what anal glands are, these two anal glands which are sitting on either side of the anus, and they're there historically, they're called scent glands. So they would provide scent as your dog defecates. They're also in your cats as your cat defecates, and there to let other animals know I've been there. They don't really have a purpose, and we don't need them to function. But what can happen chronically is they can become obstructed, plugged up. It should be just this sort of loose liquid that gets expressed when your dog or your cat defecates. So they can become obstructed and can be very irritating. One of the things that we've saw, so in the past, I had many clients come in. I would try to teach people how to express their dog or cat's anal glands. Yes, especially some overweight cats can get these as a recurring problem. I try to teach them how to do it at home. Some people wanted to know, some people didn't. I also have a YouTube video on it. You can search that up. It's my most watched YouTube video, dog anal gland video. But one of the things that we're finding that has caused recurring anal gland issues is allergies in anal glands, recurring inflammation. And so with that inflammation, either it can plug up the duct itself, so the gland can be expressed on its own. If you can treat that underlying inflammatory disorder, that allergy, then you can potentially have a more normal anal glands with your dog or with your cat. So the first thing which I've said to everybody is, first, if you're going to treat this and avoid surgery, one, you've got to learn to express the anal gland yourself. So go ahead and watch the video. Just go to youtube.com, search for my channel, it's Dr. Andrew Jones, or the Internet Pet Vet, and just search up how to express your dog's anal glands. Because there it is. There's Lewis lying on the table, and I'm very clear showing you how to do it. Secondly, look at treating an underlying allergy. So if you've not done an adequate food trial, do a proper food trial on your dog, do a proper food trial on your cat. And that means just feeding them a unique type protein, which they've never had before. You're doing that for a minimum 8 weeks. Just stick to that. Avoid any other treats, etc. Secondly, look at getting them high doses of EFAs, which I've talked about so many times. And the dose you're looking at is 1,000 milligrams per 10 pounds daily. So if you're treating your dog, you're giving your dog a tablespoon of flax oil per 50 pounds of body weight daily. You're treating your cat, you can do the fish oil is ideal, but just make sure you're doing it that dose, 1,000 milligrams per 10 pounds of body weight daily. And then the last thing, which really ties into a couple of things I want to tie into. One, if you're looking at a herb, I really like curcumin as a herb, so look at the 95% curcuminoids. Something that's going to be in a specialty type section, you might have to go to a natural health store, your pharmacy can order it in, and you're looking at a dose of 100 milligrams per 10 pounds day of curcumin. Great anti-inflammatory. So if you're dealing with an underlying allergy, it can help for that. Secondary too, it can help sort of take away the inflammation that's plugging that anal duct. So then you may have less problem of recurring anal glands. And the last thing is the use of probiotics, which I just discussed. So we just did a whole section of probiotics, and they're finding, yeah, they're also beneficial. So the two things we're finding with, especially with anal glands, one, we know there is bacteria located. We've got all that bacteria in your dog's colon. If we can normalize that bacteria, so let's give them that good probiotics, we may have less of a problem. Secondary too, we know that there's a correlation with probiotics within your gut your dog's intestinal tract and the inflammatory response that's going on with allergies. So if we can normalize that bacteria, we may see less allergic symptoms and then ultimately less anal gland issues. The bacteria that you want to make sure you're adding in, Lactobacillus bifidobacterium, and I said two of those are also in my supplement, and that's Ultimate Canine Health Formula. So now we're coming to the end of today's podcast. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. You got some good information out of it. As I said earlier, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, go to iTunes.com, or you can also go to Stitcher.com, and in both cases, just search up Veterinary Secrets. Subscribe there. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you have anything to say, you'll post a comment on my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or go ahead and send me an email. It's podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. Once again, thanks for listening. I'll be here next week. This is Dr. Andrew Jones.